Kylie, you got the recorder?
Yep.
Did I get it?
I got it. It's on and ready to go.
You ready?
Yep.
All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. April 8th, Westminster City Budget Meeting. Mr. Brunson, you have the floor.
Yes, sir, Mayor, members of council. Audrey will not be here today, or she told me she wasn't going to be here, but I think you have everybody. You guys, I think we have a process pretty well padded out on what we do. We spend the first two budget workshops going through expenditure review. We'll go through revenue review today of what we've had in the past, and then you'll have a special call meeting April 29th where we will give you the proposed budget. We'll present it to you. Then you have first reading on May 13th, so if you want any changes, you have between April 29th and May 13th to make first changes. Second reading will be June 17th, so you have until then to finalize it. We really have till the end of June to get it passed, so we have been able to make it with those dates every year so far. I think we'll be able to do it with the current trajectory that we're on now. I will likely ask that you have a special call of council meeting on the 29th in addition to the workshop. We have the lease purchase for the equipment. You have to do two readings to get that in. And I think you all know we're trying to run at this as fast as we can to get ahead of the tariffs being imposed on vehicles. And so that would be something you'll have at your April 29th meeting to do second reading on. We probably won't have anything else unless it's time sensitive. Even if we have some other items that are queued up for second reading, we would hold off until the regular meeting in May, just to make sure all those things have plenty of time. I just wanted to kind of alert you to that one slight change. We always start out by looking at the local economy, of course, or the national economy, and considering how that applies to us here at home. These are slides that I've had every year we've been doing this. And when you look at the energy sector, and you see that in the top left-hand corner where it was down a lot in 23, it was down a little less in 24, it's down slightly in 25. That is because in 2022, you may recall, there was a spike in natural gas prices that sent the energy sector very high. That almost caused us to have an electric rate increase at PMPA. Luckily, the contracts in there were strong enough that we escaped some of that volatility through our supplemental contract with Santee Cooper. But when you look at that, you see why is the energy doing that? If I had the slide in there from 22 where you saw how high it went, it makes that a little more sense. Helps that make a little more sense as to why that's trended back down. But that just means it's trending down from the previous year. When you look at all the other sectors, you see that they're trending up. Kind of the same thing here, the CPI. I don't know that we're having anything astronomical in 24. I think the highest month was a little right at 3.5%, where if you go back to 2022, you saw that we had some 8.25 month-to-month increases in inflation. And you can see what the average was there, 22 to 8. So last year we did much better than that in terms of inflation. I say we, I mean, makes it sound like we did something. We were just participating. But I give you that information as a reference, so when we're looking at what we're doing for employee raises, what we may need to do in terms of rate increases, you know where that pressure comes from. It comes from the pressure that we have on our operating budgets to buy the same things this year that we bought last year, to maintain the equipment and to keep the employees at not just a livable wage, but what I hope is a competitive wage in most instances. There probably are a few places where we aren't what we'd like to be there, but I think this council in particular has done a great job in helping make sure If nothing else, our public safety employees are receiving competitive wages. And that has really helped bolster the other portion of the city staff, too. We'll jump into it. Reagan and I were kind of talking about some of these spikes that I think we're going to start seeing in our charts from here on out. Most of it is going to be because we have all these grants that we're getting, and even though we try and really keep all that grant expenditure sequestered over into the capital projects fund, sometimes the money comes in or the auditors say you've got to credit it back from here, you've got to move it from here to there, and it, on the balance sheet, when you look at it, the $5 million that we received in a one-time appropriation from the state for the Horton Rec Complex, that $5 million hit the general fund along with print out what that other $600,000 was. And you'll see it in another slide.
I believe it was lease purchase was also...
Yeah, the skip funds that we had to move. That's why that spike's in there. And there's some more slides on it. You have all the detail. You will have a line item budget when we get done so that you can look and compare those. I try and make a note whenever I know what's going on there. You're just going to see more of these happening, and most of the time these are tied back to the projects that we're working on in either the grant money or the loan money that we have coming in, and it hits the individual funds. I'm going to roll through unless you guys stop me with any questions. If I go too fast, let me know, please. So looking at taxes, fees, and permits, taxes is a pretty important component of our general fund revenue. You can see how tax collections have gone there in that top line, the property taxes. Business license revenue is the other, and that's in that line item called licenses, permits, and fees.
Kevin, on the, we lowered the property taxes last year. Is that reflected in the 2025 budget, or is that what you're showing up next year?
It actually was reflected in the 24 actuals.
So we've actually increased our revenue, tax revenue, even with the decrease in the...
Even with the decrease.
Right. Yeah.
So if you look at this slide, look at that bottom where you see the red circles there, and that's the value of a mill. You can see that each year we've gone up around 5% in the value of that mill, and I'm expecting that to continue. A great example is just think of Sphinx. What we were getting off the old Sphinx site, I mean, it probably was less than a couple thousand dollars. That new Sphinx site is probably going to generate around $4,000 to $5,000. It'll be almost a mill by itself. You also have the new infill housing that, as that comes online, anytime somebody does a renovation to a home and that gets captured at the county auditor's office, that just increases the value. And then, you know, kind of to my consternation, maybe to some of y'all, we are seeing higher amounts of vehicle taxes, and that's because a new vehicle these days, you know, it used to be a new vehicle, you got a nice one at $40,000, and now $40,000, you look if you can get a used one. So that value is carrying across when you start looking at vehicle taxes in there too. You see that number is going up a little bit higher than the others, and that's just because the average price of the vehicle. And there's a certain amount of that I think we can just expect to turn over every year. To me, this is a strong indicator of health in the assessed value of the city. Is it looking at those bottom lines and then applying that entire tax rate? And I'm not sure what Wahala's tax rate has now become, but I've heard a number of folks recently, and maybe even in the newspaper, read that their tax rate was one of the highest or the highest in the county. That used to be us. And bringing it down, that 3.5 mils that we brought it down back with the adoption of the 23-24 budget dropped us down to become more competitive. And again, that competitiveness is important mostly for local commercial business. So think El Charro or Puerto or Lucky Strike. People who are more likely to open a local business if they have the option of going to Westminster, Wahala, or Seneca, they're going to look at those property taxes. It may not be as much of a factor in residential home ownership, but it certainly is in the commercial sector. So.
I saw that too, and I actually went on the county website and checked, and we are still highest. But I saw it in paper too. I looked at it, but if you run the numbers at the county on their form.
Yeah, I didn't write a letter to the editor asking.
No, I didn't either. No, I thought, well, that's nice, and then I checked it, and it somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I did go back and double check. I just
perception's reality, though. That's it.
It was in the paper. Must be true.
One other question on that prior one on the general fund. You've got the grant money looks like including miscellaneous and other instead of with the grant income. Is there a reason for that?
That's where, at the end of the year, when Jason White comes in and does what we call the adjustments, the journal entries, that's where he booked it.
Okay.
So there's no real reason it in miscellaneous versus grant income. That's why we have Jason on board.
Mm-hmm.
It ultimately got moved out, but that's where we received it. When the state sent us that money, it comes into the same account where we have the general fund dollars. We can always ask Jason if you want to know.
I was just a minor thing. I just didn't know why.
Oh, we were talking about property taxes. I highlighted there. DC, I think they're still pretty strong. I don't know why we had a little bit more in 23 than we did 24. There could have been more penalties for non-payment, would be my guess. The value certainly didn't go down, as evidenced on the previous slide. That could just be more people are paying their taxes on time and not incurring the penalties. I really don't know. License fees, permits and fees. Again, this is our business license revenue. You can see how important that is. I expect we'll see a little bit of a jump when we get through this year. Because whenever, you Sphinx, when they had contractors down there working, we're hitting them up for business license fee when they come in and do that. We had that when Oconee County built the Magistrate Building. We had a small uptick in business license revenue from those contractors coming in that wouldn't otherwise buy one. And I think we also may see a little bit of an uptick in contractors that have bought business licenses that have come in to work on Hurricane Helene damaged homes. I know I've seen a couple of them in that without them coming in to fix those homes, we wouldn't have otherwise. Fire department, I think most of you are familiar with this. We received 285 up through 2022. This council we have right here, you asked that we renegotiate that contract with Oconee County. We did. And I don't know if any of y'all read the newspaper. Was it today, the Wild article? Where the county is no longer going to contract with Wahala for fire service. And also in that was, I appreciate Andrew passing this along to Lauren. We have a 5-year contract that has a 1-year, if there's an intent on either side to want to terminate, there's a 1-year notice provision. We've not been given that notice. Chief Smith and I have recently talked to Tommy James about fire department funding. Most of that has been, I think you all know, Michael would like to see, and I would like to see more firefighters in the fire station. That comes with whether or not we have the ability to get more money from the county or not. We just don't have the ability within our budget to do that. So far, Tommy has been kind, at least to listen. Michael met with him, was it last week? So, kind of real light and easy conversations, I'd say. Nothing heavier one way or another, but we do rely heavily on the money from the county to make the fire department work. Of course, we serve a lot outside the city limits with that too. Michael and his department answer a lot of calls. We showed that data here in one of our other budget meetings where our calls for service in 24 over 23 were up more than 100%. Police department kind of looks like a barn roof. And that's mostly because when you get to 2025, you're looking at a budget number. The previous years, you're looking at actuals. Most of that is ticket revenue. So when the police department writes tickets, I typically budget a little bit lower than what it's going to come in because I certainly don't want to push the police department to have to generate revenue by writing tickets. We want them to enforce the laws as they see fit. The byproduct is a benefit to us. Reagan, was that your ice settling?
That is ice settling.
Okay, I didn't know if that was your belly grumbling or if that was your ice settling.
I'm going to choose to go with ice this time. Next time might be different.
I wanted you to be aware, and Fred and I have talked about that. I don't push them on that. I make them aware what the numbers are, and then we go with it. By the end of the year, it typically tips a little high. Right now, we're trending low on that number. If we were to stick with the trend for the last 3 months of the fiscal year, we probably will not come in over the budgeted amount. Some of that, and if you ever want to, you can ask Brett now if you like, but some of that is turnover in the police department, and then that we hired officers that were not certified, so there's a number of times where they're doubled up. Now we have everybody back?
Everybody's back, yes.
Everybody's certified?
Everybody's certified, and right now they have three in field training, so they're riding two-tool car until I think they got.
And you're going to introduce our new police officer this evening?
Yes.
Female officer?
Yes.
Spouse of another city employee that's in the fire department. So
we won't hold that against
them. We're keeping them in the family. Any questions there on your barn graph? Again, I really, my preference as your administrator is let the police enforce the laws as they see fit. We budget what I think is an appropriate amount, and if they come in over, that's great. I tend not to want to put pressure on them to be raising revenue. Youth Rec Fund, weird looking chart here. I can tell you a little bit about the first half of that chart is post-COVID. So, you know, during COVID, we had to shut a lot of stuff down. We were coming out of COVID. And I think I went an extra year back on this graph where I didn't in some of the others just to show you the effect that COVID had. And then I gave some information to the mayor recently, and he asked, why did we have that drop in 2024, which I wondered why we had that drop in 2024. Turns out Herb got an equipment grant. So he has the ability to write a grant, and he doesn't want me to say who it is unless you press me to tell you, through one of these national sports equipment chains, and we saved about $150,000 in equipment last fiscal year because he got that grant. And it's never guaranteed. We happened to get it last year. There may be some stuff we don't have to buy in the current fiscal year because of that, but it'll tail off after this year and those numbers will probably go back up. So that's why his, and I always say her, but Youth Rec's revenue and expenditures typically trend pretty tight because Herb really comes close to spending on what he brings in. He has that mindset of back when Youth Rec had to raise the money on its own to be able to spend it. Herb's never gotten out of that mindset. So you'll see expenditures and revenue track pretty close in Youth Rec where you don't really see it in other places.
This is all revenue here?
This is all revenue.
So where's that grant money at?
Well,
it's not showing up.
He didn't have to charge
okay.
for some things, so it doesn't materialize as revenue, but it also doesn't materialize as expenditure.
Okay.
So it's just kind of netted out of the total.
Yeah.
That's why you see the drop in the revenue. That's why that, and I think I sent you the email Herb sent me, didn't I? Or I at least flipped you his explanation that it was equipment that caused that number to be down.
Yeah.
youth rec is a bit of a challenge, and I think you all know, as we bring on important rec fields and we go into the next budget year, we're going to be learning how to operate and run something we've not operated and ran before. I'm going to tend to be a little bit more conservative on my planning as a result of that in your upcoming budget. I can't tell you right now exactly how much, but that's at least my plan. So I think this slide is important, and you have an item on your council agenda, executive session, to talk about recreation funding, possibility of that going up or not from Oconee County. For a long time, we had $30,000, then we went up to $50,000. We use that primarily for capital. We don't use it for operating. And that's because of the reporting HERB has to do back to the county. And it goes through the PRT department there. But the part that I'm highlighting is how much we still have to augment youth rec from hospitality tax and general fund tax dollars to keep everything working. As a reminder, about 80 to 85% of our users of rec are outside city limits athletes. Quite figure out how to say all that very well. Anyway, just kind of like we do at Fire, let you know where the money comes from to support what we do.
How did the fees go up from 164 to 308 this year? That's a big jump.
I would have to go back. Reagan, will you make a note to kind of do a deep dive in that fee section?
Yes, sir.
Well, first off, Mayor, that's budgeted. That's not actual.
Right.
But I'll go back and see how we went up.
Has there been any feedback from the county and whether or not they're going to help support us just a little more with the Horton deal over there? Is there any hints at conversations? Or?
I have not been a part of any conversation that was specifically related to Horton. The dialogue that I guess is generally going on, and I don't want to kind of overstate that I'm involved in it because I don't really feel like I really am, is a conversation about whether or not Oconee County would increase that 50, maybe up to 80. And that isn't just for us. It goes to Wahala, it goes to Seneca, it goes to Fair Oak, it goes to Salem. I think anybody that's got a rec department. But I've not heard anything specifically about Horton.
Hopefully they'll at least do that.
Hospitality tax fund, that trend line is pretty unimpressive, so I'm going to kind of flip over here. I'm showing you two different sets of numbers, and kind of doing it on purpose, and I can't quite settle in my mind the best way to present it, but look at the bottom right-hand corner where you're looking at calendar year, which is not fiscal year. How we track that information, we were actually down in our hospitality tax collections in calendar year 24 than we were from calendar year 23. And Kylie puts these numbers together for us. This is straight off the information as it comes in. It's to me, it's fun to study because you can kind of see the different things that happen seasonally. February is typically a low month. When we don't have a lot really going on that are bringing people into town, can look in there and see that April of 24 we were way down from what we were the previous 2 years. I don't really know why. We can say anecdotally we had restaurants open and close, and some that opened and closed in the same year, some that were opened in 23 but closed in 24. I can't really give you an account overall other than to say because the overall value of that is small, that any fluctuation hits us a bit harder than it would if we were much bigger. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that there's a fluctuation happening there that's really eye-opening, other than that will play into the calculus as we get ready to propose a budget for you this year. So if you go back to this slide, that we have $202,000 budgeted for 25. Can't recall what our actual numbers are, and I don't have that with me right now. I don't think we're going to meet that 202 budget. I think it'll be less than 200. I think it'll be more than that 171, but I don't think it'll be 200. So as we put next year's budget together, that is something that goes in there.
Well, with the increase in food prices last year, you would think it would have gone up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I would have, if I would have just been telling you intuitively how I, where I thought those numbers would have been, I'd have put that squarely much closer to 200,000 than what it came out with. But that's why we go with the actual numbers and how we feel. So.
When did beef and rib open back up? Was it November? That area?
It was late in the year.
Yeah, it was October, November, but.
Local accommodations tax funds, 2020 and 2021 are still a little bit of an anomaly that are hanging on here, again, post-COVID, but then there were some numbers that were being captured in a different fund rather than local accommodations prior to 2020 that we had to right the ship on. However, you can see the lower the overall dollar amount is, the more drastic that curve moves when you look at the numbers. I think we'll be on target to hit the $12,500 for this year. I think you know most of that money comes from two places. One's the Relax, and one is Magnolia Manor. And the new owners of Magnolia Manor have a different way of operating it than it has been operated prior to their ownership. Some of that was in 24. I still think that that's probably going to be our number rather than an overall dramatic increasing trend. Solid waste fund, again, because we account for different things that come in and go, the capital lease purchase made that spike that you see there in 2023. That's where we bought a garbage truck. What I can say about when we spend money in solid waste on equipment, it does at least generate revenue back. I don't mean this as a slight against the chief, but when we buy him a police car, it doesn't generate us revenue back. But when we buy Scott Paris a truck, he generates revenue back.
Chief, slack. You slacking off.
Noted.
He seems very concerned.
Pull him over first.
So as always, this is how I like to look at it, is what's the cost to serve? Are we bringing in the amount of money that we need to do the service without having to use tax dollars to augment it? And we achieved cost to serve, I would say, in 2023. That's when we stopped having to bring in money from the general fund. Or that was the last year we brought in money from the general fund. And I think that's good. What I will note here, I found this out today. I put the note at the bottom, kind of just in time noting there. I found out today we did not apply the 3.5% rate increase to our residential customers July 1st as we should have. Found out today that it'll go on the next bills that go out, but it has not been applied to residential customers yet. That was a mistake on our part. I should have made sure we audited all the increases. We got the ones in on commercial, but we didn't put in the software for it to calculate that increase on the residential solid waste. So people will see, because what will be in their next bills maybe, or the bill after, they will see that increase on their solid waste.
It'll be their May bill.
Their May bill. That probably will also temper whatever I propose to you in a budget in terms of a rate increase, just because we won't have the data to back up. I can do a scenario on how we, what we would have received, but because we didn't receive it, I won't have quite as strong an actual. I will probably be more conservative on that as a result without having that data to go. But I thought it was important. I found it out today. I'm telling you that.
So do you have in mind you might ask for another increase in that department?
Yes, just to cover whatever we needed to cover the new sanitation truck. Everything else would have the 3% increase on the employees. The operational money stays the same except for the new truck.
So we'd be hitting everybody with 3.5 increase in May and then another one in July?
And it may be that, and if you want me to, we can not put that rate increase in or put a lower percentage in and then wait till January to see if you need whatever the additional money would be. I don't think that that's a bad way to do it either. I've got to sit down and go back through it. I found this out late this afternoon. But in saying that, would you rather see it that way? Maybe split out so that they don't get hit now and then?
Cause I wouldn't want to give them a 3.5% increase right now and then another one in July. I mean, that's going to be hard. We're going to get hammered for the increase when they get it anyway. But if we do it 2 months later, hit them again, that's my personal opinion. But you got seven people, though.
How big of an increase do you expect it to be?
Well, nothing in my mind is over 5%.
5% more, 5% total.
5% more. Very likely, 3.5 and 4.5 would get close to what we need. My memory is correct from when I did the calculations last year. And it may be you want to charge. You don't want to have an increase for inside customers, and you do want to have one for outside customers.
Solid waste, it wouldn't make that big a difference. We don't have that many outside, do we?
Getting more every day. So Cooper's Mill is a great example. And some of that is there's some growth that we can expect because of Cooper's Mill. We got another permit yesterday or this morning for another house at Cooper's Mill. So as that one keeps, that first phase gets closer and closer to build out. It's real easy to serve that neighborhood. We incorporated it into our route. The second phase of Cooper's Mill, I guess kind of depend on what the national economy does, but that developer has already called me back before Christmas saying he's getting ready to start the second phase. And then Heirloom Farms, we're well underway on the water and sewer. And then that developer could start constructing those homes and we would pick them up as garbage.
So I guess when you run those numbers, when you come back to us, can we look at it that way, or you split it between?
Yeah, I'll show you. I think I did last year. I showed you the percent that I figured was natural growth, and then the percent that I was looking at in terms of a rate increase.
So we're going to look at the difference between May and January, or May and July.
Yeah, it gets difficult. Like when I start putting the budget together, I try and do the revenue projections as late as possible because I'm looking for as much data to go off of from the previous year as possible. When we bill 2 months in arrears, so I'm already only getting 6 months worth of data to be able to put in and do a projection for the next year. And I would much rather have a year. Now, by the time we get there, I may have 7 months, but I'm going to have no months when we get here. Now, I can just do it what I thought it would have been, but, you know, the customer count goes up and down every month.
Right.
So it'll be a little bit more of a challenge. it'll be a bit more speculative than I typically am in doing this. But I probably feel more comfortable with our solid waste fund than any, because really we brought it from needing tax augmentation to not needing any in just a few years with some modest increases in my opinion. Switching over to utility fund, there really isn't a lot of revenue that comes into utility admin. Most of this is going to be stuff like fees and service charges and sometimes grants. I don't know why we have a negative 459 in 24. That was again another audit adjustment where some money that was credited in had to be moved out. If you want to know that, I'll find it. Reagan, why don't you go ahead and put a note? Let's figure out what that was. There's not really a lot that goes on in utility admin. Water is getting stronger. Again, the 25 number that you see there, that's based off of budget, where 24 is based off of actual. 24 does also include some of the improvements that we've been making to the water system. So think of the money we got from Oconee County. We got 1.3 in ARPA money from them. We had the USDA money. Any of that could hit a bill or a billing cycle in there that shouldn't be, but I don't think that's the case there. OJR or sewer fund, this is not OJRSA, just the sewer fund total. Again, if you look at the 25 numbers, that's because that's the budget number. 24 is actual. That number popped up a little bit. As a reminder, we did a 1% rate increase on sewer last year. I think the overall increase is going to be more attributed to the billing rate structure that we have with OJRSA, and we bill based off of water consumption, not off the percentage of what we own in consumer authority, which is how we used to do it. Electric revenue, you see where that trend line is, it's going up. Same thing on the expense side. I throw a lot of statistics at you right here. I hope it's not too much. I think it's important to know where we are with our customer count. So if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, you can see what our customer count's doing. We're steadily increasing, not a lot, but those numbers do keep going up. Most of that, I think, is going to be as a result of infill housing. So I think Adam Smith built three homes over on Dole Street. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
So
there's been three on Simpson there.
Yeah, there's three new electric customers we didn't. Anytime you have the infill, because we really aren't adding any customers outside the city limits unless we add them as a result of annexation, but we add those that were Blue Ridge as we annex them with Blue Ridge. And then when you look over on the right-hand side, you see where our revenue is. Most of this is going hand in glove. I'll go ahead and go to the next slide. And when I say a provider here, the electric provider is PMPA. So this is what is our raw bill from PMPA. It is in that PE line. And then, so if you're looking at electric, you see what the revenue is, you see the PE number. The PE number is what we pay PMPA. And on water, the PE number is what it cost us, water plant and water system, to run. And then on sewer, what I'm netting out is what we've actually paid the sewer authority. When I first did this, I wanted to just have electric and sewer because those are the two that we're paying other entities for. But because it's a combined utility system, I put it all together. did want to note in here that in your 2024 actuals, there were $665,000 of the USDA project hit in the water line on the expense side. No, it was on the revenue side. So it is an actual revenue. It was just money we drew down. And then, Mayor, you asked a minute ago, what were the increases? Here are the increases going back to 2016. So you see all the ones that we increased all the way on the right-hand side in 24. We had quite a few increases in 22. I guess we increased the same ones in 22 as we did in 24. Most of those sewer, or two of those sewer increases, were as a result of the things that happened at the sewer authority. We just passed through. I go back to this all the time. And Mayor, to your point, ideally we don't do an increase every year. If I had my preference, you wouldn't do anything other than every other year on any one given fee. Now, you may stagger. You might do a water and electric together, and then the next year you do a garbage and a sewer. But that way you aren't hitting a customer with every single component of their bill. That's in my mindset as I make these proposals to you. Unless you would like me to have something different in my mindset. It has been difficult looking at the budget requests from the department heads and seeing the pressure on their operating budgets to think we go with through 25 without needing some increases in a number of these places.
Are there any that we don't need an increase in?
Sewer, well, if you go back over here, sewer is set to pay for itself if everything hit budget in 25. And we did a 1% increase this year. Oh, sorry. Electric, my thinking on the electric, most of that increase that I'm going to propose to you has to do with that settlement agreement we made through PMPA. The amount we have to pay extra each year is not something we can't absorb, but we're now 1 year into a 10-year settlement agreement, and at the end of that 10 years is $1 million balloon payment. If we don't start setting some of that money aside now, it will catch up with us pretty quick. And if you recall, at one of our previous budget workshops, I also mentioned cash flow is getting to be more and more important to us as we have more things going on. Mm-hmm. And putting money aside for that balloon payment also helps with cash flow.
Is there any more movement on the life of the reactors being able to help take care of that $1 million balloon payment then?
Yeah, so I don't know that they've given us the numbers back. And what plays in our favor is Oconee Nuclear Station just got relicensed for another 20 years. So the general sentiment at PMPA is, as goes Oconee, will also go Catawba and McGuire. Mm-hmm. McGuire's the one up near Charlotte. We care about what happens at McGuire because there's agreements that feed back and forth between Catawba and McGuire. I don't think they're set to do the relicensing on Catawba for another year, maybe 2 years.
But well before the balloon payment.
And if that relicensing happens, then the amount that's set aside each year for decommissioning gets spread out over another 20 years, where right now it's compressed less than 20 years.
How much do you think we need to start setting aside in case that weren't to happen?
I did it just straight line math. You got 10 years and $1 million, $100,000 a year. I could give you all kind of formulas, but at the end of the day.
and just be smart and save $100,000 and hope that they realize it.
Yeah. And every indication is they'll relicense it. It's a very useful asset. It's been very well maintained. Mayor and I have sat through more presentations on the maintenance of that place, where they're always looking at it going for another 20 to 40 years. That helps when it comes to the relicensing. And the fact that we've had, you know, we had for a while, it was a big shift to move away from carbon producing electricity like natural gas and coal to renewables, and then nuclear is always right in the middle. It's kind of the steady eddy.
So if we're able to put that aside and they do relicense it, do you think that money just goes back to cash on hand?
Goes back to cash on hand, or you do a project, you do an underground with it, or in another 10 years you're going to need to do more maintenance at the substation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got money built into that $5 million bond deal to do some maintenance at the substation that we should have probably already done. But it's the kind of thing that takes a certain amount to, for anything good to happen. You don't just put $20,000 aside and that be enough. You need at least $80,000 to go do something there. I don't think it's wasted, and I don't think it's hoarding, because I'm also very sensitive to us just banking a bunch of money. But I think it's prudent financial planning to look at what we can see right now. We know that balloon payment's there. We have an amortization schedule. We know what it's going to be. We know when it's going to be. And there are conditions that could change that make it less. We hope there's not a condition that would change to make it more. The other side of that would be because I think it's 15%, if there's anything that happens at Catawba that requires a large capital investment, PMPA has to pay, I think, 15% of that capital. And we're responsible for that. So if they have to go out and borrow $20, $40 million, which is we're talking tens of millions of dollars on that stuff, then our bill would go up some amount to reflect that new borrow.
The growth has helped tremendously. As long as the growth keeps going, it might help us absorb some of this.
Well, and we also, you guys might remember, Joel Ledbetter came and asked you to pass a resolution saying we're willing to sell our excess capacity. And if that goes through, that could save us $3.3 million over 10 years, which would negate the need to bankroll $100,000 a year for the next nine.
Has there been any progress on that, do you know?
So right now we're in a waiting period. We had, as a board, we had to give any participant first right of refusal to buy that excess before we can go sell it on the open market. And the board voted to give 90 days. Mm-hmm. And that clock started March 1st. So it'll end at the end of next month. If Rock Hill or Greer, and it's really one of the two of them that would need it, nobody else in there needs to buy more capacity, it's going to be one of those two. If they exercise the option to buy some of that, then that could hurt what we could get in an open market. Mm-hmm. So right now, Joel has packaged up about 50 megawatts, and there's a market to buy 50 megawatts. But let's say Rock Hill comes in and wants to buy 27. Mm-hmm. Then we only have 23, and that's a lot less marketable. Mm-hmm. So that changes the whole dynamics. So right now we're in a wait-and-see mode. Maybe a few microaggressions at that PMPA board table as a result of that. But we'll know at the end of next month if anybody opts in or not, and then what the next step in that would be. There are at least four open market buyers interested in 50. And if that number changes, you don't know if there's still four, if there's one, if there's none. No. A lot of moving parts in PMPA that I thought we would have settled in 24. So I really think we'll settle in 25. So I hope that's the case. And that could be one of them. I had hoped we would know that answer before we had to adopt a budget, but I don't see that happening. So here's your rate increases by date. So we start looking at where do we land with other folks. This comes from the Rural Infrastructure Authority. Every now and again, they're off a little bit. They don't have the most current increases. I'll note down at the bottom, and Reagan did this research for us this year. Appreciate Reagan doing that. Pelzer and West Pelzer have now kind of siphoned their stuff off to Greenville Water and Rewa, so they aren't in the business longer. If you look where we are, we used to be second highest only to West Pelzer in terms of sewer. Well, the dynamics have changed a little bit, and you can see that Williamston, Seneca, I thought there were three. I guess it's just Williamston and Seneca are now higher than we are on sewer. If we can go a year without a rate increase, that helps that position even more. On water, it's kind of all over the place. We kind of land in the middle.
That's an in-city rate?
Yes, probably.
It is.
Thank you, Ray. Then, when we start to look at just electric up in that light blue box, that's what's current. I left in last year so you can see a little bit of comparison. I guess the big shift there was at Blue Ridge. They went to a new rate structure. I think those numbers, Duke's I think is low because they have to go to the Public Service Commission to get approval. So they're hesitant to raise their rates because of that. I expect they'll be asking for a rate based off what we've heard at the EMPA, just with all this going on. And that's why Blue Ridge's numbers went up, because Blue Ridge buys from Central Electric Co-op, who buys from Santee Cooper. Their rates are going up, and that's just the reality in that electric energy market.
Well, see, that's why I was hoping we could go 1 year without raising, because if we could get by 1 year without raising our rates, we could get down to a point that we'd be below some of these others.
Well, Seneca buys directly from Santee Cooper, and you see they had a rate increase from last year. I don't know if they'll have another one this year, but from the anecdotal conversations I have with those Santee Cooper reps, they're seeing everything trend up. But these are the rates. Then we look at like where we fall with our two peers in the county. I think it's important. This is what I think a lot of people use as their most close reference point, where we stack up next to Wahala and Seneca. In my tenure here, those Wahala numbers have gone drastically up. There was a point at one time where their water rates were really low. Of course, they got rid of a utility director, and their rates went really high. I don't know what that meant. Is that right? I'm going to show you this. This is the inside rates. These are the outside rates. I give them to you in your PowerPoint so that you have a chance to look at them and reflect on them. These are always very... I actually refer back to this PowerPoint a lot. Every year I put the budget together to see where we stack up, trying to help us be more competitive. Sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. And you know, the challenge for us is because we're smaller. Our counts are smaller. So the fluctuations matter more. And then this is kind of my favorite slide where you get to see it all together.
customers for Walhalla?
Well, that's Duke's number of customers.
Duke, okay.
Duke serves
okay.
Walhalla.
Yeah. Thank you. I was going to put some, wow.
It's getting crowded.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't fashion work, did it? Haven't even passed yet.
Yeah.
Solid waste, we're a lot higher.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I kind of envy what Walhalla did is they, whether they like it or not, in their administration, they went out and they got a lot of outside city customers. You know, they serve almost all the way down to our boundaries. How high up? All the way north of Salem?
No, they go, they stay inside their water region, so up above the high school, about the way around this key.
And Mayor, our challenge is that buying that garbage truck that we bought in 23 and then needing another one this year, I really would have liked to have gotten a few more years down the road before we needed to buy a garbage truck. It's just the one we got ain't going to make it.
It is what it is.
Questions, discussion, input.
I got a question.
Guidance.
Let's see if I can put my brain together. Going back to the rate increase. So we didn't collect it, but we had 2 months to collect on that amount with that rate increase, right? And I think you said you're still trying to figure out the number of what that next increase needs to be for next year, right? You have an estimate, guesstimate, but we didn't raise anything. Started July 1, an estimate of what that would be. If we don't do collect major, what would we need, what percentage would be the rate increase? For the
I haven't calculated that yet.
Okay. I'm just thinking, you know, it's all about perception. Saying, you know, we voted last year for a raise. For a rate increase. We did not collect it. We gave you a year. You know, basically gave you a year. And so in that, this increase is why it's this amount, why we have to do it, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, in the few hours I had to think about it today, my thought went to, rather than doing a rate increase July 1, just hold off and see what we need for a January rate increase. Just to get those numbers time to settle in. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is just capture what we need for debt service on that garbage truck.
Sure. And you know, we are so small.
That debt service is going to be somewhere between $80,000 and $110,000 a year.
Yeah.
We've got good growth that's been coming in there. So that may be ultimately what I end up pitching to you as an option. But I appreciate hearing you say that, because that kind of, just in my brief thinking it through, maybe helps solidify that may be the way that I go. Would y'all be comfortable with that if I give you a budget and it looks like it's going to come close, I won't put a rate increase in, and then if we get in, we'd have to start looking at the numbers in October so that we would have a projection by January to know what the rate increase would have to be. And then if you don't need one, you don't do one.
In my opinion, I think we're better off if we do the rate increases during, I guess, that time of year. Because when you give people an increase in July, their electric rates have already jumped up because of the heat, and it just makes it exacerbates the increase.
Right.
So instead of them seeing a $7 a month increase, it's tied in with the electric, it's going up 25 or 30. You know, so I think that would work.
I mean, when I was disappointed to find out that we missed putting that number in, but also I've been tracking the numbers every month. We're doing fine in terms of what we're bringing in, which means we had a lot more growth than I anticipated we would have, or we would we would have been in a deficit. I would have picked it up just from watching the monthly financials.
Sure.
Which is good that we're at least that strong. Any other feedback or questions, discussion?
Recreation this year, we're going to be able to put another full-time, good, qualified, certified
employee. So my plan right now, the only new staff I have in the budget as we speak right now is an assistant director for her. And what we put that in, Reagan, at like $55,000, $56,000 a year?
Thereabouts for salary.
So that would be a decent entry-level job for somebody. That's not to be somebody that's got a lot of experience, probably would not take that job. Mm-hmm. But somebody who's new-ish to the industry would probably enjoy, you know, I guess part of what I was hanging my hat on is Horton Fields, if you're a, I'm going to use Herb's phrase, if you're a rec rat out there and you want to be in the recreation industry, the chance to come on at the beginning of something like that would be worthwhile to come in at that salary point. But again, we don't know until we post it and start taking applications to see who's actually interested at that level. But that's where we've got it programmed in that. What'd you say? I'm sorry, Ray, I was talking so much, I forgot the number.
About 55 plus fringe benefits.
So,
when you're looking at that, I know you handle that. We don't get involved in that. I understand that completely, and I appreciate that. I don't want to be involved in hiring. But keep in mind that if we can get a local somebody that's involved, that they're more likely to stay without, like Herb has stayed with what we pay him. We couldn't get anybody else to do that, and they're going to jump. But this is Herb's home. This is where he wants to stay. So if we could find somebody local that's qualified that could do that, I think we stand a better chance of them staying.
Well, absolutely.
Just because they have Herb's mindset. You know, they love this town, they love this department, and hopefully that we can find somebody that's got some experience with turf management, and that's going to be the big thing.
That's going to be, and being able to provide Herb operational support. You know, he's got the program down. He knows how to program a whole season of every sport we play. He knows how to divvy up the teams, get coaches, get refs, sign them to fields, sign them play time. He's got the programming side. Where he needs additional support, in my opinion, is the operations. He's got two great guys, Tristan and Chris, do us a great job. And they're smart men, and they're specifically designated doing field work. So they don't really come in and kind of help do some of the operational strategy and thinking through. That's what I'm looking for there. I think there's a good chance we get somebody local.
And I believe Herb's the golden ticket. You know, he's the one, he knows people across this state, across this nation, you know.
I can't imagine people outside our organization love him less than we do.
I know.
So.
I know.
All right, you've given us a lot to think about. Anybody have any more questions?
Okay, so just as a reminder, I'll give you that budget on the 28th. You have time to think about what you like, don't like. By the time you get to the day meeting, make changes there. You make changes all the way up to you adopt the final version. So with that, we're at the end.
Great job, thank you.
Need a move to adjourn.
Motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Dale seconded. I don't know if you heard that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Reagan, I can't see this now, Trey.
I didn't call you, I trusted you. Oh my goodness.
And I have somebody.